Okay, we'll be using our chorus book for the morning service. Let's turn to 124.
Sisters gathered around your son. And I just think of the message this morning, Sunday school, and how it blessed my heart to hear about Jesus and what he did for me. Father, teach us this day. Open our hearts to your son and bless us. We pray for Gary and Donna that you'd help them, keep them strong, and give them strength for what they need to do. For everyone in this church, Father, help us to be one in you. In Jesus' name we ask, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's turn then to 152. 152. announcements this morning. First of all, don't forget tonight after the evening service, there was a business meeting. We have a number of important issues that Pastor wants to cover with us, so I trust that as many of us that will be here tonight will. And trust in the Lord's will be done in all of our lives here at the church. It's important. Next Sunday is going to be the 41st anniversary celebration, so that's going to be a good time. We're going to have our normal Sunday school and morning service, and then we will have a dinner. And trust that all of you will be thinking about what you want to bring along. And we'll have a good time of fellowship eating downstairs. Following that, we will have an afternoon service. And then that will be it for the day. There will be no evening service. Brother Bob Hitchens and his wife Charlotte will be coming up to join us. He'll be preaching for the morning service, and then for that afternoon service, Pastor will be teaching in Sunday school like he normally does. And trust that we'll have a good time. I think that's it for most of the announcements that I'm aware of. Let's get our Bibles out and turn to Psalm 19 if you need it. Just a brief reminder, I did a study on this last Sunday night, and if you missed it, there are copies of the notes in the back there next to the sound booth. Pick one up if you want to. Psalm 19, 1 through 5, we'll say that together a couple times, and trust that we'll get better at it as we go along. And if you're able to do it without looking, that's great. If you need help, your Bible will be there in front of you, okay? Here we go, Psalm 19, 1 through 5. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. Let's say it together one more time. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run the race. All right. Well, we have one more song. It's a favorite of many of us, I believe. 211. And as you're returning, why don't we stand if you're able to.
In my father's house. praise and I'll sing this for you. Okay.
The best we know how. We practiced it once, but then we didn't get a chance to practice it again. Right, Jason? We this is the one. I've been changed. Since you got saved, I've been changed. And we want to sing this for you here. Okay. Jason and I. All right, Sam, I'll let you get that.
Save all the sinners. so many times before. I love the easy conversation. Man, that preacher sure can talk. He brings up my need for salvation. Even though he knows I'm stubborn to a fault. Savior's face.
I hope every one of you knows Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Your Savior, not somebody else's Savior. Yours. You need the salvation. Are you saved? In other words, if you died today, and we did your funeral in a few days, where would you be? Now, I know people make fun about it. Well, I'd be 6 feet under, whatever. I'm talking about where would your soul and spirit be? Do you know where you're going? If not, this is what Jesus is all about. And he came to save you from your sin. And sin, of course, is any transgression against God's holy character, his holiness. And I would say that you're a sinner, just like anybody else. And you need salvation. And I would say you need to trust Jesus Christ today as your personal Savior. Don't go out of this building today without being saved. And if you are saved already and you go out of this building, you should be just shouting glory, hallelujah. Thank God I am free, free, free. I'm going to heaven. And not because you're good or you went to Ray Street Baptist Church. No. Because Jesus is your Savior. And that's the only hope you have in this world. So there you go. All right. You know what? We're going to get right into the fourth dispensation here. And then I got some things to talk about when we're done here. Brother Bill, would you pass around that next dispensation paper? And Chris on the other side, you get those handed out. We're going to do what does it say on the top? What does it say on the very top? Somebody? Which one? The fourth? The fourth dispensation. That's the one. Okay. Where did I put it? Oh, there it is. All right. We ended up with the third dispensation, which was human government, and that was when Noah came out of the ark, he offered a sacrifice on the altar, and a new age began called the human government. And I don't know if you heard the news or not, but the president put out an executive order about extreme vetting. And the courts already have said he can't do that. And the ACLU came in and they're intervening to let all kinds of people come on in here without asking them any questions as to their loyalty to the United States of America or not. And you know what? Human government is what we need. And we're living in a day of anarchy. And if we want to be safe, you got to keep people from killing you, all right? And people from these various countries that have been notified that you're going to be checked out before you're allowed in here. People are coming here who don't like us and want to kill us. Well, we have human government in place in order to keep that from taking place. And God instituted that back in the days of Noah when he came out of the ark. He said, Noah, you are to govern yourself. Well, as we saw, and I'm not going to go over it again, men did not govern themselves the way God said. He wanted them to scatter over the earth and repopulate the earth after the flood, because everybody was killed except for Noah and his family and all the animals that were kept safe on the ark. And so that's how the world became populated. But men did not govern themselves right. And that just goes to show you that human government alone will not make men righteous before God. And they need a remedy. And again, the remedy was a sacrifice which Noah offered unto God. And God was happy with that, because when God saw that sacrifice, I believe God saw his son Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins. All right, so now we're ending with that third dispensation called human government. The remedy was the blood on the altar. The main scriptures for it are in the book of Genesis. So there's not a whole lot of scripture references for that time period. All right. So now we're going into the fourth dispensation. You got your paper right there. And there are various characteristics to it. First of all, the name of it is Promise. And the time period is from the call of Abraham to the Egyptian bondage. All right, after Noah comes out of the ark, and finally God scatters them on the earth. And by the way, someone offered this to me. How did God actually go about to scatter them on the earth? Ralph, don't say it, all right? How did he go about scattering the people over the earth? Someone? What, Barb?
Diaspora.
By what?
Diaspora.
Like a scattering, okay. How did he actually perform that scattering? How do you get it done, Marge? He confounded their languages, and that's where you get from Tower of Babel. Babel means confusion. And so he confounded their languages, and obviously, if you were there at that time, you would come. They were working on building a tower on the heaven. They had a false religion in place and everything, and they were naming after other gods and so forth. They were really being bad, and God confounded their languages, and they scattered all over the face of the earth. If you were there that next morning after God confounded their languages, you would come to work, and the guy you worked with the last year or so is talking in an unintelligible sound. He's telling you, go get a bucket of cement, and we need that stone over there. Bring it over here. And you can't understand a word he's saying. Well, finally, you would find someone else who talked just like you. And then you would gather together in your language groups. And after a while, it just got so difficult to work together, those various language groups would divide and finally go all over the face of the earth. And so that's why we have many languages in the world today. It came from that dispensation of human government. And so now we have a man named Abraham, who obviously was born, and God called Abraham out of Ur of Chaldee, out of all the rest of the people, and he says to him, I am going to bless you, Abraham, and all the families of the earth through you. So that's what we see. The name of it is a promise. God made a promise to Abraham. So that's why we call it promise. All right. And the time period is from the call of Abraham to the Egyptian bondage up to the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. Now, when Moses got the law from God, remember how he got the law? 10 commandments. Right? On 2 tablets of stone. Remember that story in the Bible? How many know that story in the Bible? Okay. All right. Moses got the law. That's the next dispensation that we're going to talk about. Law. And it will take up most of the Old Testament scriptures. And so that's how long this went. And we have some dates given you there. And the duration is about 374 years. From the birth of Abram, which probably was around 2165 before Christ. And then 1875 would be Jacob and his sons went down into Egypt. Israel's exodus out of Egypt under Moses, the Passover, the Red Sea, the opening up of the Red Sea. All right, what was the test? Now, here is the important thing. God gave Abraham a test, not only to him, but to his family as well. And it says to stay in the land of promise. We call it the Palestinian covenant. And it's in Genesis chapter 26. Go there. All right. Genesis 26. Genesis 26. In your Bible, find Genesis 26. There's not a whole lot of scripture either about the age of promise. And this is just one of the sections. All right, Genesis chapter 26. If I can just get my page turned here, I'll be fine. Boy, boy. All right, there we go. All right. Genesis 26, verse 1. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. Yeah, I'm going to read more here, but you know what? All the trouble that's going on in this world today is because Abraham and Isaac did not obey this promise that God told them to do. That's why there's trouble over there, and there will be trouble until they finally turn back unto the Lord. Who do I mean? The Jews, Israel. Until they turn back to the Lord, there is going to be trouble. And that's why we call it the Palestinian Covenant. The land over there is called Palestine, right? You hear that term in the news and everything today, the land of Palestine. And of course, the Palestinians want it, and Israel wants it, the Jews want it. And there's just fighting and problems. And of course, other nations try to intervene. We got the United Nations trying to intervene and bring peace, and that's been nothing but it hasn't worked at all. There's more problems there than before we had the United Nations. And our country as well many times has tried to intervene and make things right and to make peace. It just isn't going to happen until the children of Israel turn unto Jesus and realize He is their Messiah. And they're going to go through such trouble before they finally take that position and trust in Jesus. It's going to take a tribulation on this earth like the earth has never seen. And, you know, that's a whole lot of Bible study that we could do, but I'm just kind of telling it to you in a nutshell, all right? That there's going to be a lot of trouble before Israel finally turns to the Lord Jesus Christ and gets saved. Now, we're still in Genesis 26, verse 3. Sojourn in this land, I will be with thee, and bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. Oh boy, all those countries that are there right now, and they're giving Israel trouble. Guess what? They're going to be handed over to Israel. They're going to be underneath their rule someday. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. Verse 4. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Oh, Isaac, you should have stayed in the land. That's where the promise was. And that's where God said, I will bless you if you stay in the land. That's the test. Did Israel stay in the land? No. Eventually, we find them down in Egypt in subjection to the Egyptians under hard labor. They may have actually been the ones who built the pyramids as a result of their disobedience to God. I don't know about that, but I just throw that out there. Maybe someday we'll find that the Jews were made to help build those many magnificent monuments that they have in Egypt. But sure enough, there they are down there in Egypt having trouble and problems because they did not obey God's promise. That's why we call this the age of promise, the failure. They went into Egypt, continuous failure of Israel. Stephen preached a message in Acts chapter 7. He just outlined the whole history of Israel and their disobedience and unwillingness to stay in the land of promise. And as a result, trouble came. They didn't like to hear Stephen's message because when he was all done, he said, Israel, you are constantly stiff-necked to the Lord. You will not believe in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. You will not obey God's word concerning staying in the land. And they didn't like that, so much so they stoned Stephen after he got done preaching. Wow. Boy, how about that? If that would be the response to a message about needing to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you get stoned by the people listening to you. Wow. Well, the rest of it says, Abraham went to Egypt when famine came. Ishmael was born of Hagar. That shouldn't have been done. He was trying to help God out with his promise. God said, you stay in the land here, Abraham. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you a seed, and that seed is going to multiply more than the stars of heaven. Well, how about God if you just take Ishmael? Let him be the seed. No, God says, no, I promised you out of your bowels will come forth a seed, and that will be through Isaac. Well, Abraham and Sarah were real old at this time, way past the time that you would have children. But God, in a wonderful way, brought a child into Abraham and Sarah's life named Isaac. And Isaac was the one through whom Jesus Christ would eventually come into this world and bless all the families of the earth. But even Isaac went down into Egypt. It says Gerar. That's very close to Egypt. So he wasn't in the land. He was kind of close to Egypt. You know what? Don't disobey God just a little bit. That's what Isaac did. He disobeyed a little bit. Like as if God will be okay with that as long as I don't disobey him too much. No, you got to come God's way or no way at all. There is no other way. There are a lot of people who say, well, I don't mind the cross and the story of the cross, the story of the manger. But this preaching, Pastor Freeman, that I'm a sinner and I'm no good and I need salvation and that Jesus is the only one. Aren't I good enough? I try my best. I'm no worse than anybody else. Oh, well, hey, if you really start looking at it, you'll find out you're just as bad as anyone else. For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Does it sound like I'm preaching what I preached in Sunday school this morning? Kind of the same thing, but hey, this is what it is. And I hope it gets clear to you, the way to righteousness with God, the way to heaven. It is through the cross, and there is no other way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, the Bible says. Okay, and the rest of that failure here is Jacob steals the blessing from Esau. You remember that? When Esau came back hungry, and he dealt with him in order to get the blessing. Hey, wait a minute. God will give you the blessing because he said so. You don't have to work and make it happen. God will do it. And then there were glimmers of hope in the midst of failure. Abraham, you know, Abraham did trust the Lord. He believed in the Lord in reference to how God would bless him and all the families of the earth. Then there was Joseph, the dreamer. All right. And he ended up down in Egypt, but he actually ended up being the children of Israel's savior out of Egypt because he provided for them when he told the Pharaoh his dream and so forth. And then the prophets that came later, they try to get Israel to turn to God and be faithful. Prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah. And how about Micaiah? And how about Elijah? The prophets of Baal. He tried to get the children of Israel to stop worshiping Baal. And you remember the big challenge that they had there with the altar. And the prophets of Baal cried all day that fire would come down and they cut themselves with knives, but it didn't happen. And then Elijah prayed and the fire of God fell down on that altar. And he told the people of Israel, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And the children of Israel for a season had a little revival. But then again, they walked away from the Lord. This is the history of the whole Old Testament. How they would come to the Lord, then they would leave the Lord. They'd come and leave. Oh, it's just so sad. That's the failure. They did not stay in the land and take God at his word about him promising to bless all the families of the earth. So what was the judgment? The judgment was slavery in Egypt. Slavery in Egypt. And it was a long time that they were slaves down there until God brought who along? Who? 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 Moses? He brought Moses along. And Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And where did he lead them? He led them back into the land that God said, stay in this land. And he took them right through that Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army tried to do the same thing, and they were all drowned. And in time, of course, even then, They murmured and complained. And it took 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Oh, Israel, would you finally turn to the Lord and put all your faith and trust in him? No, they don't. But they finally get out of Egypt and Moses takes them through. And Joshua, the great captain of God's host of army, takes them into the promised land. And you have the stories of Jericho, the walls of Jericho falling down so that Israel could win the victory and gain control of the land that God said, this is the land, I want you in it. And, I'm going to stop right there, but I'm going to say this. There is a lot of confusion because of not rightly dividing the word of God, where present day preachers will take passages of scripture that apply to the nation of Israel being in the land of Israel in order to be blessed, and they flip it and they say, God is no longer working with Israel, but now God is putting Israel or the church in the place of Israel. So all those scriptures and passages about God blessing Abraham and the children of Israel when they stay in the land and so forth now refer to the church. And when the church is faithful to the Lord, it's like as if they're in the spiritual land. They spiritualize everything. Instead of the literal land of Israel to be dwelling in, and that's what Israel's going to do. They are literally someday going to be living in the land of Israel with God's promise of blessing upon them, with King Jesus ruling and reigning in Jerusalem. That is literally going to happen. But they spiritualize those passages and say, no, those passages refer spiritually to the church gaining victory in the world someday, and that the church will someday actually be victorious over all the world and bring in everlasting peace. And there are various notions of this. They're called post-millennialism, meaning that the church will work to make this world a better place, and then King Jesus will finally come back and take over after the church wins all the battles. No, that's not rightly dividing the word of truth. In fact, we're told that toward the end of the church age, things are going to get worse in this world rather than better. And that God is going to be coming someday to take the true church out from among the false church that will be here to home to heaven with him in what is referred to as the rapture of the church, which we're all looking forward to. We're looking forward to it. And then after 7 years of tribulation, God is going to bring Israel back unto himself. And they're going to dwell in the land that God promised them. Well, that's how it's going to be. God said to Abraham, walk on that land. Walk around that land. Walk on it. Okay, Abraham did it. He says, I'm going to give you that land. Well, Abraham's long dead. How is God going to do that? He's going to raise him from the dead. That's what he's going to do. And give him a new body. And he's going to actually walk in it on his own legs and feet on that promised land one of these days. The church is not going to be doing that. We are going to be in the holy Jerusalem, which hovers over this world, and we're going to enjoy a holy Jerusalem, a beautiful golden streets of gold and everything someday with the Lord in heaven. That's where we're going to be. If he comes down to earth, I suppose we'll come with him. If he says, all right, church, let's go down there and check things out, see how Abraham and the children of Israel are doing. I don't really know that for sure. But, wherever Jesus is, we're going to be with him. And it's going to be a wonderful day. I'm looking forward to it, and I hope you are too. All right, well, we'll finish up with the remedy next week, which is the Passover and the blood. Once again, it's always the blood. It's always the blood. and continuing principles and some events and things that take place. We'll take a look at that next time we get together. I hope this is helpful to you and to rightly divide the word of truth and so forth. Okay. Well, folks, I need to talk to you, okay? Your pastor needs to talk to you more like family, all right? Tonight we're going to have a business meeting, and I want to plead with you to be here tonight. We have some things we need to talk about the future of our church and your pastor, all right? I guess in a way I have an announcement to make, and that is that the doctors have said to me that there is nothing else that they can do to help me with the cancer that has invaded my body. I'm going to tell you right now, if it weren't for the pain in my back, I feel good, all right? Right now, I feel good. It's the pain in the back that causes me to have to do this, sit down while I talk to you, and when I get up and walk around. I have a hard time keeping my body erect. I don't have the strength in there, and it's because of the cancer has gotten in there, and it's just taking its toll. And I had told you that we may be going back out to Chicago, and some of you asked if I've already gone, and the answer is no, I've not gone. The doctor out there and the doctor here know each other on a personal basis, okay? And they both have talked and gone over my records, both of them. We sent everything out there to the doctor out there who we really like. He was a very good doctor. And he said, your doctor back there is one of the best doctors in the area. He says he is very good. And they did have one other treatment that they said they could possibly try. But they said, you know what? You need to start making a decision as to whether you want quantity of life or quality of life. And if we start you on this, we believe that the symptoms would be such that it would really tear you up. And you need to make a decision as to whether you want to do that or try to take care of your body the best you can. And they haven't given me very long to live, okay? That's basically what they've said. And I asked the doctor, I said, well, are we talking months or years? And he wouldn't say year, okay? He said, but he says, we don't know what God can do. God can do things, and this is the doctor saying it. God could do a lot of things, and you and your wife are people of faith. And so, folks, we need to go to the Lord in prayer, okay? In prayer and ask him to do whatever he wants to be done. There might be one or two other things I'm looking at. I don't know if I'll consider or go after it. Some of you have told me about it. I'm going to talk to some of you about it afterward to get some information. But folks, that's where we're at. And I'm sorry, but your pastor may not be around a whole lot, a long time. And so we need to pray. And my daughter's church actually is having a day of prayer for me and others. Pastor Reddy and the people in India are fasting and praying for us. Of course, Pastor Reddy is very dependent upon us and our church at this point, so it really bothers him. But they're praying, and there are churches all over the world praying for you people, the church, and your pastor. So I know it's not good news. I wish I could say to you, we got years to go, but we don't. Tonight in the business meeting, I want to explain to you some things that we need to do as a church to get ready when you no longer have Pastor Gary Freeman as your pastor. Because that's a reality, folks. And so we've got to talk about it. But I believe more than anything, we've got to pray. God, thy will be done. My Savior prayed that way while he was here on this earth. He prayed, if it be possible that this cup would pass from me, so be it. But didn't he end with, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And by the way, isn't our God able to heal? Isn't he? Is he able to heal? Do you know that he's done it in the past? He has. We have one in our midst here, Bill Buskirk, whom God mercifully healed. And we prayed and prayed, did we not? We prayed and prayed. So I'm going to say that's what we need to do. Right? What else can you do? I have tried a whole lot of things. Maybe they've worked to keep me going this long. Because, folks, colorectal cancer patients, people who have colorectal patients, usually 4 years and they're gone. I'm 11 years from diagnosis. So God has kept me here for 11 years. Can he do it again? Ah, he can. He can. I know it might be tough to grab a hold of that, but that's what our Bible teaches. And it teaches us to go to him in prayer. So we need to do that. And maybe you're not a person of prayer. Maybe you haven't been a person of prayer. Okay, start. Start. Start now. Take everything to the Lord in prayer, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So, folks, I don't want to drag it on and so forth, but I'll open it up to anybody who may have any question or anything. Be careful what you might say in an open forum here, but maybe you have a question or I know this matter of prayer. How can we do it? I know we come to services and we say amen and out the door we go, you know, and we just go on with our lives. We need to go to prayer. We need to pray somehow, some way, in a very effectual prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Isn't that what the Bible says? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm wondering if there's a way we can kind of all be praying all day long in a way. You know, not you, you know, you pray all day long, but maybe you say, I will pray in the morning, you know. I will pray at noon. I will pray at supper time. We could possibly, you know, pray like that. And that way we have a lot of prayer going up to the Lord. And that he knows our sincerity in this. That just crossed my mind. Anybody have any other thoughts about that? I don't. Some of you might already know about the situation, and maybe you've been thinking about it. Is there any thoughts along? I'm opening it up now. Jim, what do you think? Okay, and people could sign up for praying at that time of the day. All right, that sounds like a good idea. We got to pray. We got to get praying about that. And that doesn't mean you can't pray at the other times of the day if you signed up for that. But yeah, we could do that. Let's make a chart this afternoon and hang it up, and we'll have spaces there that you can sign up and say, I will pray at this time. That's a good idea. How about anything else? Anybody else have any idea like that? Okay. Now, I really would, and I know Sunday night, and it gets dark, and I know the older ones have a hard time, but if you can get here tonight, please do so. We need to talk about what we're going to do. It's in our Constitution what we need to do. So if you, do we have the Constitution up on the website yet? Do we have that portion on there, Kathy? No, we don't. Okay. Well, I'll make copies for it so that we all have it tonight. But we got to talk about it as a church family. So if you can get out here tonight, please do so. Okay? Even if you're not going to say a word or a peep, so that you know what we're doing. I've already talked to some of the guys about what we're doing. And so we need to be together. And tonight's service will be devoted to just that. So if you can get out here, please do so.